Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones. Welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this 28th day of August, 2021. Welcome to those that are listening to the recording or joining us on the phone, and glad to have you all with us in fellowship once again. And praise God for his healing grace and for the eight laws of health bringing recovery and healing. Thank you so much for your prayers, dear ones. It's so good to be back with you and able to lead out in the meetings once again. And I still haven't recovered my endurance. It's slowly but surely it's coming back. And any progress I will accept. So thank you so much for your continued prayers, and let us uphold those that are still sick and are recovering from this illness. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And let us please bow our heads and knees for opening prayer. Dear precious Father, we thank you so very much that you're in control of all things. Thank you for bringing us safely to another Sabbath fellowship. We pray that thy presence will be here in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit as well, that we may have the atmosphere of love and light and peace and joy that surrounds you in heaven come near to each listening heart. And may we partake of these heavenly graces, that we may indeed grow more into the likeness of our Savior and our Father. We pray that you will enable us to see the spiritual insights in the words of inspiration that we will be going through this morning. Help us to spot the precious jewels of truth. And I pray, dear Spirit, that you will put these truths into our hearts to the point that they may become a guide of our lives and not be lost or snatched away by the evil one. We pray that you'll be with those that are still sick, those that are recovering. And dear Savior, thank you so very much for being our great physician and for your merciful love and care in raising us back up to health. I pray that you will enable each one of us to recognize our responsibilities and why you have continued to give us life in this wicked world, that we may indeed be your witnesses and let our light shine to all around us, that Jesus may be uplifted, that he may be glorified, that the loud cry will continue to sound forth and increase in intensity, that we may go home sooner. Again, we thank you for allowing us to gather together, especially in the name of our Savior and in the presence of our Godhead. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flows, dear ones. Well, we are continuing in our study book, The Desire of Ages. It's been a while since we've gone through this wonderful book. And I appreciate your patience in waiting for my health to return. So we're in a new chapter, chapter 82, titled, Why Weepest Thou? And the last thing that we were discussing was that Christ had risen from the grave, that all 100 or so Roman soldiers had witnessed his resurrection and had gone throughout Jerusalem telling others what they had seen and heard. And then news got to the priest. The priest commanded all of these Roman soldiers to come to them. And they effectively convinced them with a lot of money to change their story, and that Pilate would not punish them for supposedly sleeping and stating that the disciples came while they slept and stole the body of Christ away, which, of course, is a blaring contradiction. If you're sleeping, you don't know who stole the body. But anyways, so now there's two different stories going around, one backed by the church, which was a lie, and the other backed by personal witness, which was the truth. And so now we come to chapter 82. It begins at the top of page 788. The women who had stood by the cross of Christ waited and watched for the hours of the Sabbath to pass. On the first day of the week, very early, they made their way to the tomb, taking with them precious spices to anoint the Savior's body. They did not think about his rising from the dead. The sun of their hope had set, and night had settled down on their hearts. As they walked, they recounted Christ's works of mercy and his words of comfort. But they remembered not his words, I will see you again. John 16:22. So here we see that even though Christ had told his disciples and had told his followers that he would be delivered into the hands of men who would then crucify him, and then on the third day he would rise from the tomb. So even though Christ was very plain what was going to happen, because he died and they had their hopes fixed on Christ being the King of Israel and delivering them from their enemies, that belief led them to forget the truth that Christ had shared. So we can see here that false doctrine can play a part in preventing us from understanding the truth. And so even though the truth may be plainly given to us, yet our wrong conceptions, our false ideas, can counteract the truth so that it is not recognized or that it is forgotten. And so now you can understand a little more clearly why the devil wants to spread false doctrine, side issues, fanatical ideas, because all of these things work to counteract the truth from being recognized. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones, before we go to the next paragraph?
A lot of times strong emotions can carry us away instead of having our mind stayed on Christ, who brings comfort from grief and sane thinking. The emotions kind of grab us and haul us to a pretty bad place sometimes.
Amen. Amen. It's a very good point. Emotions affect the body quite a bit. Depending on if you're sad, different chemicals will be released by the body that work to keep you sad. If you're happy, chemicals are released by the body to keep you happy. And so, if you're emotionally upset, there's going to be chemicals released by the body to encourage that particular type of emotion. If you're angry, chemicals are released that encourages that particular type of emotion continuing on. And so if we are not in control of our emotions, then our emotions are controlling us. So emotions can either affect us positively or negatively. And if they affect us negatively, then they're going to want to control what we think and how we act. And thus the truth can take a back seat if emotions are allowed to control us. Now, without Christ, we're powerless. We can't control our emotions. But with Christ, we can do all things. So it is possible to control your emotions. If you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, you wake up feeling gloomy or depressed, you have a choice to make. Do you continue giving in to gloominess and depression? Or do you choose to overcome those through the grace and strength of Christ and become happy? And it's quite interesting, dear ones. If you don't feel like smiling, but you force yourself to smile, the body recognizes that you're smiling and will release chemicals that will encourage happiness. So even though you don't feel like it, put a smile on your face and the body will react in turn and bring about a condition that encourages happiness. So you're very correct, dear sister. Emotions play a part in how we respond to truth. Amen. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Please feel free.
I remember as a child, sometimes I would get up and be in a bad mood. And my mom would say, you go back and get in your bed and get up on the right side. You got out of the wrong side of bed. And it always made me laugh because my bed was pushed up against the wall. I could only get out on one side. So when I had to crawl out the foot of the bed, and it would make me laugh. So my mood was changed.
So as these women are coming to the grave to add spices and ointments to Christ's dead body, as they thought, they completely forgot about the fact that he said he would rise again. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Ignorant of what was even then taking place, they drew near this garden, saying as they went, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? They knew that they could not remove the stone, yet they kept on their way. And lo, the heavens were suddenly alight with glory that came not from the rising sun. The earth trembled. They saw that the great stone was rolled away. The grave was empty.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Are there any comments or thoughts on this paragraph? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Dear Brother Bob, it's so wonderful to see you, so refreshing, so I know, as you said before, recovering, but the Lord blesses you, anoints you, and keep you in health. Praise his holy name. The women have not all come to the tomb from the same direction. Mary Magdalene was the first to reach the place, and upon seeing that the stone was removed, she hurried away to tell the disciples. Meanwhile, the other women came up. A light was shining about the tomb, but the body of Jesus was not there. As they lingered about the place, suddenly they saw that they were not alone. A young man clothed in shining garments was sitting by the tomb. It was the angel who had rolled away the stone. He had taken the guise of humanity that he might not alarm these friends of Jesus. Yet about him, the light of the heavenly glory was still shining, and the women were afraid. They turned to flee, but the angel's words stayed their steps. Fear not, ye, he said, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Again they looked into the tomb, and again they hear the wonderful news. Another angel in human form is there. And he says, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. So here we see that there was more than one way to get into the Garden of Gethsemane, where the tomb was. Mary Magdalene had taken one particular path and arrived there first. She saw the stone was removed, and then she hurried to go and tell the disciples, the stone's removed, okay? Other women came from a different pathway, arrived there, and they saw a young man clothed in shining garments. Now, who was this angel?
Was it Gabriel?
Amen. Amen. Remember in the last chapter, it said that the highest angel, which would be Gabriel, because Lucifer had fallen and was kicked out of heaven. So Gabriel came down to tell Christ that his Father called him from the grave, and then Christ resurrected himself. So here Gabriel lingers and takes the form of a human so as not to scare the women that had come there. And so it's quite interesting here. Here's the highest angel that takes human form and then helps these followers of Christ to recognize that Jesus had risen from the grave. Yeah, amen. It was an honor to Gabriel to deliver the message directly to Jesus that his Father called him forth. And then it was also an honor to Gabriel to encourage the faith of the followers of Christ, or at least the women that were there. So Gabriel is there talking with them, and they look into the tomb where Jesus used to be, and they see another angel in human form that tells them to go quickly and tell the disciples that Christ has risen just as he said he would. So here we see that angels were involved in proclaiming the birth of Christ. And here angels are involved in proclaiming the risen Christ. Quite interesting. Are there any thoughts or comments, questions on this paragraph?
There was something else that I realized as we were reading this. One, I didn't know that it was more than one angels there. And two, even though they had the human guise, there was still a shining of a heavenly shining around them. And we know that unless we have the Lord Spirit imbued in us, we cannot stand before such presence. And so here I was thinking, when they came, the men who were guarding the tomb fainted or fell asleep. But these friends of God, as Jesus, as they mention here, was able to withstand in the presence here. That just came up to me as we were reading this as well.
I just share a comment of a garden lesson that goes along with this part of the story. It was more info about the greenhouse. But this lesson was about ventilation and heat inside of it. It is important to have proper ventilation or fresh airflow to have healthy plant growth. Parts of the roof of the greenhouse should be constructed so they can be open when the sun comes out and closed when it is cloudy and cooler. An even temperature should be maintained like the even temperature of our spiritual life, which is achieved by ventilating our souls through prayer. Benches or tables about 2 feet and 9 inches or 0.6 meters and 22.86 centimeters long can be used to pot plants on. Portable trays of 3 feet by 6 feet or 0.9 meters by 1.8 meters. There's with a back and sides 12 inches or 30.48 centimeters long. High are very handy. They can be filled with 3 inches or 7.62 centimeters or so of fine gravel, broken shell, limestone chippings, or screen cinders. Shades are valuable for very warm days for plants which cannot stand direct strong sun and for insulation against the colds in the winter. Permanent shades of wood laths can be rolled up are used by some. These are helpful when growing orchids, ferns, begonias, tropical foliage plants, or other kinds that need much shade. Each plant needs tender care. The women were like special plants that needed to be shielded from the overpowering brightness of the angel. That is why the angel appeared in human form. There are many ways to heat a greenhouse. It is nice to have it automatic and as trouble-free as possible. In a small greenhouse, it is a good idea and economical to use the heat of the home. Having the heat evenly distributed is also important. Another word for heat is excite. The woman with excitement and joy did hurry to tell the disciples the news of Jesus' resurrection. So we can see here from the importance of the ventilation heat of the greenhouse. If the gardener didn't construct the way for heat to get into the greenhouse, the plants will easily die die from more intense undiluted heat or even from freezing in the cold winter. That being said, that's the trouble of many people nowadays. They're not in God's greenhouse, meaning that they don't have his faith and trust in their lives. So they're spiritually going to die from the sins of intense undiluted heat or from the freezing winter. They have no protection since God is not with them. So therefore their greenhouses are probably wrecked or not built. But we can have them built once we preach our word to them nowadays. And our lives need to be as a greenhouse too, by having God as our greenhouse, by putting our faith, trust, and love in him all the time, that we're allowing in the diluted heat that will strengthen us, which is God's love toward us, always gets stronger every day, making us as good as the plants that are grown inside of them developed into. And I bet Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Martha, all three women were having in that inside as they remember all the teachings Jesus taught them. And even in that very moment when the angels were greeting them, informing them of the good news that Christ is back to life. And if we spread that news around, there'll be more for people who will have healthy lives, both physical and spiritual, all because they're under the greenhouse of God. Once many hear the word and believe it, then they'll know that God is with them and always be their protection no matter what troubles lie ahead. And that's all I want to give.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. And just as a greenhouse keeps the temperature warm and also shields from the storm and the wind outside, so may we dwell in the warm, loving, protecting hands of our God. So amen, dear brother. Are there any other thoughts or comments on this paragraph? Sabbath blessing, dear sister. Glad you're here with us in fellowship. Well, it's quite interesting here that when Gabriel came down, he was as an angel of light, and the Roman guard just, you know, fell down and was unable to move. They could hear and see everything, but they were unable to do anything about it. But after the guard had left, Gabriel remained. And as we see here, he had a companion with him. But when the followers of Christ came, they took on the appearance of human beings so that they would not be as frightened as the Roman guard was. So here we see that not just God, but also the ministering spirits, the heavenly angels, have a tender regard for the followers of Christ. It's quite amazing, dear ones. So here Gabriel says, "The Lord is risen, go tell everybody." The other angel that was there said, "The Lord is risen, just as he said he would do." And how did this news affect the women? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. And again, so good to see you back there, Elder Rob. "He is risen. He is risen." The women repeat the words again and again. No need now for the anointing spices. The Savior is living and not dead. They remember now that when speaking of his death, he said that he would rise again. What a day is this to the world. Quickly the women departed from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word.
So here we see that they were thrilled. And now they remember his words. What brought about the difference? They'd completely forgotten his words until after this event. What brought about the change?
The Holy Spirit brought his former words back to their mind.
Amen. Amen. They hear what appear to be shining humans declaring that Christ had risen just as he said he would. And so now instead of gloomy thoughts in their minds, they now have happy and joyful thoughts in their minds. So here we see that there's a mental change in their thoughts. The gloominess, the depression was preventing them from remembering the words of Christ, the truth. But then when a message of happiness and hope, encouragement came to them, it dispelled the gloomy thoughts. It took away the depression. And now they can remember the truth. Just as our dear sister Joan was mentioning earlier, emotions play a great part in either helping us remember truth or preventing us from remembering truth. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one?
It makes me think about what Jesus said, that when you're close to him, you come unto Jesus, he's going to lift your burdens. He's going to make life really worth living. And it's true. He does. He takes away all of the heaviness of bad news and worry about what's going on in this world. And you feel safe and secure, and you feel like singing when you're in his presence.
Amen. So you can understand that if we're depressed, if we're unhappy, if we're gloomy in our thoughts, it prevents us from remembering the truth that could aid us in overcoming those particular emotions. So again, if you find yourself gloomy in thoughts or depressed in spirits, don't continue to dwell in that darkness, but look up to Jesus, plead with him to give you a different spirit, and then put a smile on your face. You may not feel like smiling. Put it there anyways, you know, and it will make a difference. There's a scripture song. The joy of the Lord is your strength. 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 Nehemiah 8, verse 10. So singing scripture songs is a quick way of changing your thoughts. So the joy of the Lord is our strength, dear ones. Now just reverse that. The depression of the devil is our weakness. So flee to Jesus and he will give you joy and you will be strengthened by that. Are there any other thoughts or comments, Jerome?
I remember Sister White saying something about ropes of sand, and I thought how true that is. Without Jesus, all of our promises are like ropes of sand. Can you imagine trying to rope something up with a bunch of sand sculpture?
That's very descriptive of failure. So here, the women, excuse me, are joyful in the fact that Christ has risen. Now, they haven't seen the risen Christ. They accept it by faith based upon testimony and remembering Christ's words of truth. So they accept the fact that Christ has risen by faith, not by sight. And they are joyful in receiving that truth, and now they're going to spread it to the disciples. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Mary had not heard the good news. She went to Peter and John and with sorrowful message, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him." The disciples hurried to the tomb and found it as Mary had said. They saw the shroud and the napkin, but they did not find their Lord. Yet even here was testimony that he had risen. The grave clothes were not thrown heedlessly aside, but carefully folded, each in a place by itself. John saw and believed. He did not yet understand the scripture that Christ must rise from the dead, but he now remembered the Savior's words foretelling his resurrection. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So here we see that Mary had part of the message. The stone was rolled away and the Lord was not in the grave. But her message was depressing. They have stolen the Lord out of the sepulcher and we don't know where his dead body is. On the other hand, the other women had received the fullness of the message. They accepted it by faith because they had not yet seen the risen Savior. And they're coming to give the more complete message. So it's almost like they're crossing each other on this pathway to and from the tomb there. So Mary Magdalene reaches the disciples and gives them part of the message, but it's with a negative connotation. They've stolen the body of our Lord and we don't know where he is. So then Peter and John rush to the grave. They go in. They don't see the angels now. So they go in. Their faith is being tested. And Peter sees the grave clothes folded, but it doesn't dawn on him what that reality means. John sees that the napkin that was about his head, the garments that were wrapped around the body of Jesus, are not thrown aside as if someone was stealing his body. But they're carefully gathered up and folded, each in a place by itself. That, with the Holy Spirit's help, impresses upon John's mind that Christ was not stolen away, that he was risen, and he took the time to fold these grave clothes as proof that he had risen. It's just amazing to me, dear ones, the care and concern that God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the heavenly angels have for us as followers of Jesus. Jesus just could have taken the grave clothes away from himself when he resurrected and let them drop on the floor. But he had a care for the mental state of his disciples. And he wanted to make sure the evidence was there to convince them that he indeed had risen. And since God and Christ are the same yesterday, today, and forever, they have that same love and concern and compassion for each one of us as followers of Jesus. Praise God, dear ones.
Just trying to get my children to wake up and make their bed. It's a struggle. So maybe this will be able to allow them to understand that next to godliness is cleanliness. Jesus folded his clothes so he could teach the children, fold your clothes.
Amen. A excellent point, dear sister. And the children in doing so have a care and a concern for you as their mother. Are there any other thoughts or comments, dear ones, on this paragraph?
I was thinking about John being so close to Christ, and Christ kind of gave him a secret message. It was me who folded the clothes. I'm alive.
Amen. Amen. And you know, the Holy Spirit was right there impressing that fact of truth upon John's heart. Now, Peter, it doesn't say that Peter recognized. He saw the same thing that John saw, but the scriptures doesn't bring out, and the spirit of prophecy doesn't elaborate, that Peter was also convicted as John was on that evidence. So here we recognize that followers of Christ can see the same evidence, but not recognize the significance of what that evidence means. It's quite interesting. And that's sort of the joy of fellowshipping together and discussing issues of truth with one another. Because we may all hear the truth. We may all see the evidence. But it doesn't affect everyone the same. John saw and believed the evidence that was presented before him. Peter saw, but it didn't dawn on him the significance of that evidence. But by John sharing his faith with Peter and the other disciples, it then enabled them to understand more clearly. It's the same with us gathering together, dear ones. I did not pick up on the practical significance of Christ folding his clothes. Sister Christina did. And by her sharing what she had discovered or learned by the same evidence that we all read, she was enabled to open my understanding in a different direction. And that's the benefit of fellowship, dear ones. To edify one another in the faith. To share the insights that the Spirit has opened your understanding to with your brothers and sisters, that they also might grow in grace and understanding. And praise God that we have the ability, no matter where we might be around the world, to come together and to share with one another. Well, let's read one more paragraph. And who would like to read that?
It was Christ himself who had placed these grave clothes with such care. When the mighty angel came down to the tomb, he was joined by another, who with his company had been keeping guard over the Lord's body. As the angel from heaven rolled away the stone, the other entered the tomb and unbound the wrappings from the body of Jesus. But it was the Savior's hand that folded each and laid it in its place. In his sight, who guides alike star and the atom, there is nothing unimportant. Order and perfection are seen in all his work.
Amen. So here we gain the understanding that Christ had been wrapped in grave clothes. And when Gabriel came and rolled away at the stone, the other angel went in and loosed the grave clothes from Christ. If you remember when Christ resurrected Lazarus, Lazarus couldn't undo the wrappings himself. He came out of the tomb still wrapped. And so here with Christ, when he exited the tomb, he declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." There was no grave clothes on him. And the spirit of prophecy brings out the fact that it was that other angel that loosed the wrappings away from the body of Christ. And so this again shows us that the Shroud of Turin is a fake, because the Shroud of Turin would have one cloth starting at the feet, going up over the head and then down the backside back to the feet. That's not wrapped. That's placed over. So the Shroud of Turin is a fake, because Christ was wrapped in grave clothes. And the angel loosed him from those. And then Christ took the time to gather the grave clothes and to fold them and put them each in its own place. Yeah, the Shroud of Turin. The Catholic Church claims that this particular shroud that has what appears to be an image of a crucified individual in it, is the actual grave clothes of Christ. But when you look at it, it's one sheet of linen, apparently, and it would be placed from the feet going up over the head and then back down the other side. So it would not be something that was wrapped around the body, but placed on the body. And so then, according to scripture and the spirit of prophecy, the Shroud of Turin is a fake. It's not the grave clothes of Christ. Are there any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
So the same way that the angel watched over the Lord's body is the same way that the Lord watches over us as we're sleeping.
I guess you can look at it that way. If you ask for angels to protect your household during the night, you could also look at it from the fact that the saints that have died or fallen asleep have angels that are watching over their graves, not to protect them from being taken away, but to show the love and concern that God has for his saints, even though they may be dead.
I did not know that.
Again, it shows you the tender, loving kindness of our God for us. It's just wonderful, dear ones. Amen. An amazing and perfect love. Well, we'll go ahead and stop at this point, and next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph that begins, Mary had followed. And that looks like pretty close to the bottom of page 789. Are there any last thoughts, dear ones, before we have closing prayer?
I'm glad I sat my butt down and was able to listen to as much as I was able to. There was so much chaos in this house. I was like, I'm going to scream if y'all don't be quiet and sit down. But I needed to sit down. So when I sat down, they sat down, and I'm able to listen.
Amen, dear sister. And remember, these are recorded. So if there's a quiet time in the near future for you and you're impressed to listen to the recording, that's one of the reasons it's there. Well, dear ones, praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love for each one of us. And praise his name for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a mighty, loving God we serve. It's now time for closing prayer, and who would like to offer that for us?
Thank you, dear Lord, for our loving internet family that we can celebrate Sabbath with, we can talk to on the internet. Thank you for leading and guiding those who would invent such a thing. Thank you for the fact that Elder Robert and Sister Michelle is back with us. And for this wonderful study, as so many of you have said, thank you for your servant, Elder Robert, and the truth that he brings. And thank you most of all for sending the Holy Spirit to open up our minds and our eyes so we can grasp each truthful word. Be with us now as we go into the next service. And thank you, dear Lord, that you rested on the Sabbath day and you set it aside so that everyone could spend time with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And praise God that he calls each and every one of us to be his servant and to let our light shine, to dispel the darkness. Well, let us go ahead and take, about a 15-minute break, and then return back here at 11:40 Pacific time or 2:40 Eastern time for our main church service. So we'll see you in about 15 minutes, dear ones.